now is Bread of His Presence with your host, Pastor Cameron Urie, Senior Pastor and Bible Teacher at Renton Park Chapel in Renton, Washington.
Well, greetings and welcome to Bread of His Presence. As always, it is such a joy to have you with us as we study the Word of God together. Today, I'm happy to say, we're going to be continuing our study of the story of Noah, taking a look at chapter 9. And so, if you have your Bible, go ahead and turn with me there. You'll remember that Noah, his family, and all the animals have just survived the great flood. And have finally, after over a year, been led by God out of the ark. And the first thing that Noah does is he builds an altar and he makes a sacrifice to God. It tells us in Genesis 8, verses 20 through 22, "Then Noah built an altar to Yahweh and took of every clean animal and of every clean bird and offered burnt offerings on the altar. And Yahweh smelled a soothing aroma. Then Yahweh said in his heart, 'I will never again curse the ground for man's sake, although the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth. Nor will I again destroy every living thing as I have done. While the earth remains, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, winter and summer, and day and night will not cease.'" And then it says in chapter 9, verse 1, "So God blessed Noah and his sons, and said to them, 'Be fruitful and multiply, and fill the earth.'" Now, this is the second time after the flood that God has said, "Be fruitful and multiply." He said it back in chapter 8, verse 17. He says it here in chapter 9, verse 1. And then, as we'll see later, he says it again at the beginning of verse 7, and then repeats it yet again at the end of verse 7. And of course, we know that this command harkens back to Genesis 1:28, where God tells Adam and Eve to be fruitful and multiply, to fill the earth and subdue it. And in this command to be fruitful and multiply, we see that Scripture draws a strong parallel between Noah and Adam. Noah is, in a sense, a second Adam, who fathers sons who begin the process of repopulating the world. And after this call to be fruitful and multiply, God says, starting at verse 2, "And the fear of you and the dread of you shall be on every beast of the earth, on every bird of the air, on all that move on the earth, and on all the fish of the sea. They are given into your hand. Every moving thing that lives shall be food for you. I have given you all things, even as the green herbs." And so we see here that God, just as he did with Adam, he gives Noah instructions regarding what he can and cannot eat. And we see that God now allows for a new category of food, animals. And this is apparently a new concession that Adam, as far as we know, was not given. And it may have been given because of the massive ecological changes mentioned in chapter 9 and also back in chapter 8 that the earth went through. Maybe the earth was less productive agriculturally after the flood. We don't know. But what is important for us to see here is that this concession now results in a new relationship between man and animals. Man will now be a hunter of animals. And so to protect these animals that otherwise would be unfairly vulnerable to man, but also to protect man as well, God instills the fear of man into all the animals. You know, almost every day now, my kids, who frequently play in our backyard, They're chasing rabbits. I mean, all the time. And the rabbits are bountiful in our backyard. And the rabbits are very cruel, very sadistic, because they allow my kids to get just close enough to where my kids think that it might be possible to catch one of them before they suddenly bolt away. And I've been tasked with catching one of these rabbits, but as of yet have been unable to do so. But the reason that these rabbits don't just waltz up right into my kids' arms is because there's such a thing now as rabbit stew, something that I've had and is remarkably delicious. And so now rabbits flee from the hand of man. Now, one of the things that this concession does for us is it completely alleviates any guilt regarding eating meat. Because God says they are given into your hand. And so we don't have to feel guilty in taking the life of an animal, provided that we do so in a way that is respectful and not intentionally cruel to that animal. And that's, I think, so key for us to remember, because sadly, in our country, we don't show a lot of respect for the animals that we eat. We rarely stop to think of or to respect the animals that have given their lives in order to provide us with sustenance. And I think that seeing the animal that gave its life for us might keep us from wasting much of the food that we waste. We have such an abundance here in America. And so we're, partially because we're so far removed from the whole killing process, we don't stop to think or appreciate the animals that we eat. And it's very interesting to me that God gives, with this concession of eating animals, a very important rule that helps mankind really to remember the value of the lives of the animals we eat. Because he says in verse 4, "But you shall not eat flesh with its life, that is, its blood." And so we see that Noah and his descendants, and really all mankind, are to refrain from eating, showing proper respect for, animals that have their blood in them. We are to not eat blood, because it represents the life principle in the animal. We see that in Leviticus 17, we see that in Deuteronomy 12, and this isn't some kind of mystical or superstitious kind of treatment of blood. No, it's simply a recognition that when blood is poured out from anything, its life is being poured out. And so in refraining from blood, as God commands us to, we're showing both respect for him and his authority, but also for the sanctity of the life that that blood represents. Now, the idea of blood is very, very important in Scripture, which is seen in how often it is mentioned. Blood is used 424 times in 357 separate verses. And just to give you a brief flyover of this very important theme of blood, blood was the sign of mercy for Israel at the first Passover. We see in Exodus 12:13. Blood sealed God's covenant with Israel in Exodus 24:8. Blood sanctified the altar in Exodus 29:12. Blood set aside the priests in Exodus 29:20. Blood made atonement for God's people in Exodus 30:10. Blood sealed the new covenant in Matthew 26:28. Blood justifies us, as it tells us in Romans 5:9. Blood brings redemption, as Ephesians 1:7 tells us. Blood brings peace with God, Colossians 1:20. Blood cleanses us, Hebrews 9:14 and 1 John 1:7. Blood gives entrance to God's holy place, Hebrews 10:19. Blood sanctifies us, Hebrews 13:12. And blood enables us to overcome Satan. Revelation 12:11. And so blood is a very important symbol in Scripture. And we see in the next verse that though God allows for animals to be killed and eaten, God makes it clear that the lives of human beings are on a whole other plane because of their having been created in the image of God. And so because of that, God tells Noah, "Surely for your lifeblood I will demand a reckoning. From the hand of every beast I will require it, and from the hand of man. From the hand of every man's brother I will require the life of man. Whoever sheds man's blood, by man his blood shall be shed. For in the image of God he made man." And so here we find God laying out the penalty for those, even animals, who take the life of a human being. And that penalty is clearly and unequivocally the death sentence. And God reiterates this later in Exodus 21:12. He says, "He who strikes a man so that he dies shall surely be put to death." And so God establishes in the Mosaic law the penalty of death as a consequence to intentional murder. And why this is so important is because one of the major themes that we see in this chapter is the preservation, recompense for, and the multiplication of life. We are to protect the sacredness of life. And we're also to play an active role in producing and nurturing life. And this is seen in that God goes on to reiterate, once again, man's call to fatherhood, to be a producer of life. He says to Noah and his sons, "And as for you, be fruitful and multiply. Bring forth abundantly in the earth and multiply in it." And so you and I are to be guardians of life. We are to help produce life, and we are to protect life, knowing that in doing so, we are honoring the Creator in whose image mankind is created. And we are to set ourselves against any sinful practice or any evil system that devalues or mars that image. And so I want to encourage you today, let us be faithful guardians of life, knowing that in honoring the creation, we are also honoring the Creator. Let's do so. Amen.
Today's episode of Bread of His Presence is brought to you by Renton Park Chapel, a church that is committed to the ministry of sharing the joy of hearing and doing God's Word, and to the mission of bringing people into the life-giving presence of Jesus Christ in and through vibrant preaching, teaching, Bible study, prayer, and ministry to a world that is in desperate need of the healing touch of Jesus Christ. If you'd like to learn more about our ministry here at Renton Park Chapel or would like to subscribe to the Bread of His Presence podcast, you can visit us online at rentonparkchapel.org or breadofhispresence.org. You can also find us on Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, and Instagram. We look forward to hearing from you. Thank you for listening. And may you know all the fullness of having in your life the bread of the presence of God.